Stephen Farrell, who's here. Stephen has a story in his own right, but he is a man who supplies podcasts, and they're becoming so popular now. People driving or people going on plane journeys or whatever, and they follow certain people as regards what their particular interests are. So, Stephen, the podcaster, Stephen Farrell, you're very welcome. Thanks for coming in, Stephen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
When did you get involved in podcasting? And I know you've got a story, and maybe the story drove the podcast?
It did. It certainly did.
Okay, so you better tell us the story then first.
Sure. So I have quite a few different stories that are going to be tied into the podcast, but the one that really drove the podcast series was on September 11th, 2017, I was diagnosed with metastatic melanoma. So,
which is what?
So it's a skin cancer, but it's the most deadly form of skin cancer. It's actually a really deadly form of cancer. And of course, no one wants cancer. Cancer is not a good thing to have. Melanoma, certainly at stage three, is really hard to... It's really hard to tackle, and it kind of acts on its own, and no one really knows what it's going to do. It could come back. It may or may not come back. It's just a difficult cancer to
deal with. And it's just the one that has sort of legs and goes off exploring your body.
That's the one. So that one got legs, my one, and found its way to my lymphatic system. So I had, in September 11th, I was diagnosed first, and then Friday the 13th of October, I got, of course, Friday the 13th, I got my later diagnosis, so my stage 3 diagnosis, which meant it had travelled to my lymphatic system, my left groin cluster of lymph nodes. So it was tough, because I'd never had more than a cold in my life, and to be told I had metastatic melanoma was almost like a nightmare.
Yeah, you're a young guy.
I'm young. I was 34, I think. Just gone 35, maybe, when I was diagnosed. I'm coming up 36 now. So, yeah,
relatively. And what was the symptoms? Was it visual?
Visual only. Only. I'd never been healthier in my life. I'd never been fitter in my life. I was crossfitting. I was horse riding, actually, out in Enniskerry every day. I was swimming. I was running. I was cycling. I would usually cycle from my home in Sanument to Wicklow Town and back. So a really nice cycle. Really fit. Really healthy. Never drank. Ate really well. Vegetarian lifestyle. Doing all the right things, or at least so I thought.
Was it sunshine related?
They don't know. It could be environmental. No one ever in my family, aunts, uncles, cousins, mum, siblings, ever had any cancer diagnosis at that point. One, unfortunately, has had since, but I was the first. So it's unlikely it's genetic. It could be environmental. It could be tied into sunbeds that I did when I was younger. And there is scientific evidence to link sunbeds to melanoma. And again, melanoma is not a cancer you want. Not that you want cancer, but it's a really dangerous one. And they're not sure. So the signs and the symptoms for me were just a small mole, slightly larger than a match head.
Oh my
and it had
God.
Changed. It had gone from a dark brown to almost a black. But not. So I CrossFit most mornings. And in CrossFit, the guys usually take off their tops because they're working so hard. And it's kind of a CrossFit thing. And yes, it is a cult. A bit of a cult. And I was aware of the colour and the change of the mole. But it wasn't something I was ashamed of. It wasn't something that I wasn't comfortable showing. So it wasn't something that wasn't bleeding. It was itching a bit. So what I would say is, if you have anything appear on your skin or anything changes that you have already on your skin,
get it looked at.
Get it checked. Oh my God, you could save yourself and your family the trauma that mine and that I have been through.
Okay, so you woke up one morning and you were, it's still here. It wasn't a dream. Mm-hmm. I still got that diagnosis. I'm 34. For God's sake, it's stage 3. What's going to happen? So you were fearful, I'd say, and still are, maybe.
Well, fear does come into it. I try not to be. I'm not a worrier, and I've trained myself not to worry because... And the likelihood with stage 3 metastatic melanoma is the recurrence rates are really high. So it might come back. But if I worry about it, I don't see a point in worrying about it because I could be knocked down by a bus. Unlikely, but if I was worrying about melanoma and it didn't kill me...
So how did you react to the diagnosis and the news?
I passed out, actually. Honestly, I fainted. I was in my dermatologist's office in St. Vincent's Public Hospital in Dublin. And she told me, and honestly, I didn't know what metastatic melanoma was. I had no idea. I didn't know what the signs were. I do now. I didn't then. And she told me I'd have to have a surgery on my groin. And when she said groin and surgery, I...
Yeah, it's getting a bit close there.
A bit close.
Yeah, so how traumatic was all that?
I grew up, so I'm a visual artist, and I've been interviewed for, I'm very lucky and grateful to be interviewed for 10 or 11 years, and I never spoke about my background. And I grew up in Dublin 24. I grew up in Tala. And my father left when I was 12, and that was traumatic. And he would come back to the home, and that was traumatic. So at 12, I became the oldest man in the house. I was a boy, I wasn't even a teenager, but I had to take on the role of the oldest man in the house. So I developed coping skills and mechanisms at that point, which helped me, I believe, deal with my cancer diagnosis. It is traumatic. It's not easy. And I preface what I am about to say with, I understand the seriousness of it. I understand that it could come back and I could die. It could be stage four. I understand that people out there with cancer are finding it incredibly hard. But I look on the bright side. I'm sitting here talking to you. I'm so blessed and grateful to be here. I'm breathing. I'm above ground. I got sepsis twice after my surgeries. And I thought I was going to die, and I didn't. And I'm so lucky and thankful that I didn't. So I very much look on the bright side 99% of the time.
Your philosophy seems to be live in the now. Don't be letting time go by. Don't be putting things off that you want to do. Just do it.
Just do it. And actually, funnily enough, I post on my Instagram page, and at the very end of whatever I post, I write, just do it. Because life is so short, and don't get to the end of your life and have the last thought in your head be one of regret, that you didn't try all that you wanted to try. We have so much potential. We can do anything, really, that we put our minds to if we focus on it and work towards it. I found myself at 35 and 36, well, 35 now, almost dying, on my deathbed, almost, and I hadn't achieved all the goals I'd set, and I was regretful at that point. So it reminded me that I need to do the work and not put things off until tomorrow. Tomorrow might not come. So definitely do it now.
So you decided to use this experience on podcasts, and you brought in some very famous people to talk to. So tell us about how that developed.
Look, Declan, I'm so lucky and thankful to all of the people who've come into my life all the way through from when I was an artist. I'm very lucky. Jeez, I grew up in Dublin 24 in Tala. No one spoke about being an artist. I wanted to be an artist. I visualized it. I worked towards it. Of course, you have to put in the action. And I became an artist, selling all over the world, to movie stars, to rock stars, to politicians, to everyday people as well, of course.
So what is a visual artist?
Sorry, I know, everyone asks this. I should explain it when I say it. It's someone who paints on canvas, I guess. So it's a visual piece of work that you can see.
And you paint?
I paint generally, it's acrylic on canvas.
Oh, acrylic, yeah.
So I decided to... And funnily enough, recently I listened back to a podcast that I was interviewed on about 4 years ago, and it was very much the same tone as this tone. It was very positive. It was very, I was talking about being lucky and how much I love my life, and I have an amazing life. I have nothing to complain about. Even after a cancer diagnosis, I have an incredible life. I do understand and appreciate how lucky I am. So I was talking about this all the way through, and it has been the tone of my life, really, that I am appreciative, and I do count myself lucky and consider that my life is incredible. I live in Dublin 24. I came from Dublin 4. Tough upbringing, and, you know, every day is a blessing. So it inspired me then to start talking about it and motivating people and sharing my experience and the experience of some of my guests. Like, for instance, Colin Farrell came on to the podcast a couple of weeks ago. His podcast, what we cover is not acting. We do touch on it, but that is not why I asked Colin on to, and I'm very thankful he came on. I asked him on because I know how intelligent he is, and I value his opinion. And we spoke about shame, we spoke about vulnerability, we spoke about depression, we spoke about men, and women, of course, as well, talking to other people if they have anything going on, anything they're upset about, or anything going on internally, verbalizing it, a professional or even a friend, just talk to somebody. It's so important. We spoke about shame. We covered a lot, and he very recently suffered a very short but a spell of depression because of an injury that he had. So it's an incredibly honest interview, and that will be the tone of all of the interviews and the other interviews as well. With the guests there, it's going to be about motivating people and giving tools and techniques that I and my guests have used to overcome difficulties in our lives.
They must get many requests to chat to people, especially with the proliferation of podcasts. How do you make yourself stand out?
Well, I guess it's also the tone of the podcast series. I didn't go to Colin and say, let's talk about acting. He's talking about acting all the time. I didn't go to film producer Joel B. Michaels and say, let's talk about the production company or producing a movie. His latest movie is opening the Sundance Film Festival. It's called After the Wedding. It's going to be a huge movie. Out of 14,000 movies, his was chosen to open the Sundance Film Festival in a couple of weeks. It stars Julianne Moore and Michelle Williams. We didn't really talk about production. We spoke about overcoming difficulties, what it's like to hear the word no, because in that industry, in any industry, you're going to hear the word no. You need to know how to deal with that. And then other difficulties in life. Sometimes a movie is almost going to be made, it's greenlit, and it gets pulled. And all of the work that's going towards it is for nothing. Yeah. Well, not necessarily for nothing, of course, but it's gone and the movie doesn't go ahead. Yeah. So how does one manage in a situation like that?
Very good. If you can get Julianne Moore now, I'd be delighted.
She's great, actually. I might be going to Sundance, so I'll see if I can drag her away for 10 minutes.
Indeed. So, you know, but you've got this out there, and what do you hope people get at this? An air of positivity and, you know, don't be worrying about the future. It might never happen. Sure. Just go out and enjoy now.
Sure. And so, of course, we do have to prepare for the future. We do have bills, and we live in a world where the mortgage has to be paid and the kids' schools need to be paid. You know, we live in a world, so you do have to prepare. So I'm certainly not saying if you have cash in your hand, spend it right now and enjoy it because tomorrow might not come. I'm saying don't worry about tomorrow, but do prepare for it because the likelihood is it will happen. So put the money aside for your bills, of course. But the tone and the goal... Look, I don't know how long I have left to live. None of us do. And in the time, and hopefully it's a long time, and I'm looking forward to seeing what I look like when I'm old and grey. And I do love my body, and I'm very thankful for it. It's got me to where I am, even with the cancer diagnosis. The goal really is to share my experience and the experience of my guests with people and inspire them to act now and to value themselves. It's so important. Value yourself. You can do anything you put your mind to. Don't listen to other people's negative talk or opinions of you, even your own negative talk. You know, there's a great technique that I tell people, and it's to look in a mirror and pretend they're looking at their best friend and speak to themselves like they would speak to their best friend, because a lot of us are speaking to ourselves. We would never say that to our friend, our best friend. We'd never say, oh, you're not good enough, oh, you can't achieve that. What we would say is, you're a wonderful person, you're a beautiful person, you can achieve anything you want, you've unlimited potential. So if you look in the mirror and you start speaking to yourself like your best friend, that will help to change your internal self-talk.
So where do we find the Stephen Farrell podcast then?
So the Stephen Farrell, and Stephen with a V, S-T-E-V-E-N, Stephen Farrell podcast is releasing on the 4th of February. And it's going to be on iTunes, it's going to be on Spotify, Stitcher, all of the podcast stations. So it's going to be available everywhere. It's also going to be available from my website, stephenfarrell.ie.
With the V, yep.
With a V, that's it.
And no relation to Colin Farrell?
Actually, he's my brother-in-law.
Oh, so, well, there you go. There's an in.
But to be honest, and this is back to the word no, and I gave Colin so many outs for doing that, because I didn't want him to feel he was doing it because he had to. So I would say, Colin, you don't have to do it. And, you know, I have had no from a couple of people. One, a very close friend of mine, and one, a very famous woman who said no, and I completely understand it. I appreciate it. I replied to the emails, and I said, I get it. I thank you so much for coming back to me. That woman is now doing it in March, but... She said no, and that's her choice and decision, and I 100% support that. I don't mind no's, actually. As an artist, as a visual artist for 10 years, yeah, I've heard no. So
well, we know where to get the podcast, we know who's on it. Where can we have a look at your work as regards an artist? So we might be interested in your paintings. So.
Well, my paintings and my painting style has changed significantly since my diagnosis, so it's much more abstract now, and really textured pieces, expressionist, and I use a lot of gold leaf in my work. Really bright, really vibrant. The work is available to view on Stephen Mannion Farrell, because my surname was Mannion before I got married. So Stephen with a V, Mannion, M-A-N-N-I-O-N, Farrell.com.
Right. Okay. Good to meet you, Stephen. Best of luck. Keep on doing what you're doing. Very inspirational. Thanks what you so told much. Us this morning. Well done. And you're a nice, happy, positive person. It radiates from you. So
thank you.
The best of luck. Fingers crossed. Thanks very much indeed. That's Stephen Farrell right here on the Morning Show at East Coast FM.